Where is Ken?
Blog Talk Radio.
Not on yet. Thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. You have reached a historic event, if you will. Tonight, you will be joining us for the Dead End Sports Football Edition podcast. I am your host, 12 Kyle. This is the Dead End Sports Football Edition. Tonight, we're going to be talking football, and more football. Tonight's host, co-host, no strangers to the audience. You've heard him, you've seen him all over the place. The brothers from Dead End Hip Hop tonight on the podcast will be my man Ken, my man DZ, and my man Rico. Fellas, what's going on?
What's up, man? What's going on?
Yo,
what's
yo.
What's good, man?
Hey, good to hear everybody. Good to hear everybody. we're talking sports tonight. Now, Mike C. Town is not going to be here, folks, so.
No, he's not.
I don't think Mike C-Town knows much about sports.
We might have him as a guest one day, though.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea at all. So
yeah, I think at some point, yeah.
Oh, definitely. Tonight is a pilot episode podcast for Dead End Sports. We're talking football. Now, I guess probably the first thing people would want to know is, and I'll start with you on this one, Ken. People probably thinking, okay, well, they know you from Dead End Hip Hop. You guys are hip-hop heads, you know, to the core. What do you know about sports? What do you know about, and in particular, football? What do you guys know? So I guess let's start there.
Shit. Years and years and years. Because I'm called the granddaddy of Dead End Hip-Hop. You know, I know a lot about football. I've been watching football for a number of years. Been playing fantasy football for a number of years, actually, since 95, 96, maybe. 96, maybe, I think. No, I'll tell you what. I know exactly when I started playing. It was the year that the quarterback for the St. Louis Rams ended up hurt, and Kurt Warner came in off the bench. It was his first year with the St. Rams. And I'll never forget my fantasy team that I had my first year playing, and we were like 4-6 at the time. And I picked up Kurt Warner off the free agent wire, and I won every game out and ended up winning the league. So I've been playing since then.
Lucky.
So, yeah,
lucky.
Kurt Warner is always and will always be the homie.
Go wow. That is crazy. That is
I always
crazy.
Got a story, man. I always got a story.
Man, that's interesting. I've never heard it before. And Kurt, and I don't even think I was even playing fantasy football back then. That's what's up right there.
Yeah, so I was 98.
So you mentioned that. Yeah, you mentioned that as far as, and I guess the first question people would have is, okay, you know about hip hop. So what brought this about? What brought Dead End Sports to this fruition to where we are right now?
Man,
you know what
is
one
the
of
same them, oh, go ahead, man.
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, man, just like fucking Dead End Hip Hop. It's the same way with sports, man. You know, my background, I came out the womb like in sports, you know what I'm saying? And for me, I grew up in Chicago, so you already know I was watching MJ all day. So I was born his rookie year, you know what I'm saying? So obviously I didn't really get into basketball until about 5 or 6, so that was right around when he won his first championship. So I saw all 6 of them. So I just became a basketball head. And I was always athletic, so I always could throw the ball. I never really got into football until I moved to Miami. You know, they don't play football up north like that. And, you know, I just got into it. Like, I picked it up really quick. So I played high school football. I was a quarterback and a cornerback with my short ass. But, you know, I got a big arm. And, you know, I played point guard in high school. So, you know, I had a real good coach where now that I'm older, I see the game a lot different. And Ken and B's both played with me. My claim is I'm always the best point guard you'll ever play with. You know what I'm saying? Like, not in the NBA or nothing, but the best point guard you'll play with is me. So, you know, I like to see sports through a coach's eye, not just through, you know what I'm saying, a fan's eye. I'm real objective about it.
Okay. What about you, B? Where does sports come in for you?
Sports been since I was a little young, and since I watched the 86 NBA Finals and
the year of my Pistons got hurt. I'm like Detroit. Anybody know I rep all my Detroit teams. So, like, right. I've been, you know, being growing up in Michigan, yes, I've been a basketball head since a little kid or whatever. And I played baseball as well, too, because my dad played baseball. So I played shortstop baseball, played basketball. Like I said, yeah, Pistons. I've been watching Pistons almost then since I came out. Since I was old enough to play basketball, since I about 4 years old, I was playing for basketball and played middle school, played high school, AAU. I didn't really get into football until Barry Sanders, to be honest with you. Like seeing him play, and me and my dad used to go to a couple games, and, you know, seeing Barry play was, like, amazing. Then I got put up on, you know, Joe Montana and Jerry Rice, 1-2 combo punch, and been pretty much watching football since then. But my first year playing fantasy was, I think, 04. I think this is my 10th year playing fantasy football, and I just, you know, on the basketball court, you know, I consider myself like the jack of all trades on the basketball court. Even though I'm like a guard, I've been playing point guard most of my life, but I like playing two guard, and I can post. I can, you know, I'm a good passer when I want to be a good passer. You know, I can shoot that bad boy. So I'm a sports guy. I just love playing ball, though, basketball. And I love to watch football, but I would never, ever, ever, ever play it.
What about you, Ken? How did you get involved with sports?
Just growing up, man, I mean, it's just something that you do. You know, I grew up in the South, man, so it was just one of those things. You don't stay in the house when you're in the South. They kick you out. So you have to go out there and you have to do something. And athleticism has never really been a problem for me. I think if I listen to, you know, I mean, shit, like run, jump with the best of them. But hearing everybody talking about their basketball skills, I think if I had to define mine, it would be like the Rodman, that Bruce Bowen type guy on the court, you know, and that's about it, man, just that energy guy. That's it. And, you know, just football, just running, and, you know, I remember just going up against dudes that just bigger than me and stopping them in their tracks. So just country strong, man, just country strong. Competitive guy, man. I just believe in the spirit of competition. I hate losing.
Same here, man. Much like you guys, started out early. Started playing football when I started playing organized football when I was 8. In fact, I was so small, my parents had to sign a waiver because, like, the limit was 60 pounds and I only weighed 50 pounds. They had to sign a waiver saying they wouldn't sue the city if I got hurt. But, fell in love with the game, man. Fell in love with the game and just became a sports fanatic. Football, baseball, basketball, those are my sports. Football is my first love. Football came before women came. first love. So I'm loving this part of the year. Anytime I can talk football, it's a great time for me. I coach it now with my son's team and everything. And I played all the way from Little League through high school, through college. I played ball at South Carolina State, where I was wide receiver, and I enjoyed it. Like I said, I love it. I love it. I hope everybody listening gives us a chance to, now that you got a little background on us, understand how much we love the game and how much we love talking sports, that you'll join us. So make sure that you tell everybody that you know about this new show right here. It's called Dead End Sports. This is the football edition. Then I will move on after we, you know, talk about where we'll be coming from. Just moving forward, let's jump into a couple of quick hits as far as college football. What are some of the things that we've completed 2 full weeks of the college season? And I'll start with you first, B. What stood out to you thus far as in college football?
College football so far is, I guess, the not really great offensive by Alabama. I was expecting from them this year. I wasn't expecting Alabama to be like, I was expecting them to be kind of like an offensive juggernaut as well as defense. But to me, I think just from the game I saw, you know, they played, their offense looked kind of, but they still won, though. But their offense looked really, really suspect, especially playing in the SEC. And I've been surprised with Michigan's quarterback, too, Gardner. I've been kind of surprised at his play. He's much better than Denard Robinson. You know, he's a better pocket passer. He can run, and he has a powerful, more stronger arm than Robinson. But, and it's another team I'm forgetting. Oh, yeah, I can't think of his name, but the quarterback from Louisville. Oh, my God. He's crazy. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but dude is crazy. And they already talking about him Heisman after the first week, but, you know, of course, him playing for Louisville, that's not, you know, football-heavy school, so, and they're not playing a real big-time conference. Yeah, okay,
Bridgewater.
Yeah, that's a surprise right there. I was like, holy crap. You know, of course, you got to look out for those smaller schools because they be having some dudes playing, but they just not playing them big-time conferences, though. That's all. That's why you never hear about them.
Right, yep. You know, honestly, man, for me, what I saw, and I don't want to just go to the gravy train of a story, but the boy Johnny Manziel, I could definitely see the work he put in. You know, that first game, you know, sitting out the half, you could tell when he came in, he you know, he was a little anxious, but we really didn't see that much Johnny. But against their second opponent, he really looked like a quarterback that was sharp and on point the way he was dropping the pass. He's a natural runner, so he's going to use the wheels when he wants to, but that his actual mechanics are way, 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 way better. And, you know, he saw that that quarterback guru, you know, they've been showing on ESPN. So, yeah, I can definitely see the work. And also my team, my college football team, the U, beating a big bad boy SEC Florida. Yes, sir, we back, hopefully. That boy Lamar Miller's back. You know what I'm saying? So those are my two biggest things that I've taken away.
Who's your college team, B?
Growing up in Michigan, Big Ten, you know, Michigan football, okay. Michigan Wolverines, so, you know. But it's funny, too, because it's like I'll be looked at as a traitor because when it comes to college sports, football-wise, I root for the Wolverines, but – basketball, I've always been a Spartan dude. Like, you know, I always root for Michigan State. Except the Fab Five. I think the whole state of Michigan was root for the Fab Five. That was the only year where you can be a Spartan alumni and root for the Fab Five that year.
Man, that was great times right there.
Yeah.
What about you, Tim? What stood out to you in college football thus far?
Clemson, man, I think them boys might be for real. I had a feeling they would get Georgia. You know, Georgia wanted to come out the gate and you know, try to play a top 10 team. I applaud them for that. I don't think that they were necessarily ready, but they were still right there. And I had a feeling that they were going to bounce back and win this year. And this week, and that's exactly what they did. But I still think that Clemson might be a team to look out for. The other thing that I noticed, I think I don't think Texas A&M is ready to see Alabama this weekend. I don't that defense. I hear what you're saying as far as because their offense is as far as Alabama hasn't really been clicking yet. But that Texas A&M defense they couldn't stop us if we were playing.
But, you know what though, Ken? But what? you gotta look at that matchup though, right? So you have an offense that's not clicking and a defense that's not really, you know, can't really stop anybody, not even the Cupcakes. So, but you have arguably the best quarterback, you know, say up there with Taj Boyd, that boy Johnny Manziel. But I don't know if Alabama could stop him.
Yeah, they can. Yeah. Come on, man. You think he's gonna move the ball against that defense?
Yep. I think he's gonna have.
Like he did it last year, Ralph. Like he did it last year.
Exactly, and he's a better quarterback this year.
But
you know what I'm saying?
Ralph,
to
Ken's point, I do think with Saban having that year to plan and scout now, I think Alabama's gonna be ready for this game. I mean, I think they're gonna come out after Johnny Football.
Right.
That's just off of coaching alone, because I'm like, Saban probably like, oh, we going to get these motherfuckers. Like, he was showboating and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. I think Bama, Nick Saban going to get his boys ready. They're going to be ready. I don't think Texas A&M got a chance. I'm not saying it's going to be a blowout, but I don't think Texas A&M got a chance.
That's
going to
be the game of the week. I think that's going to be the game of the week, I think. I think it'll be close. That's definitely going to be the game of the week. I guess one thing that stood out for me, at least in the first 2 weeks, has been the lack of production from Jadeveon Clowney from South Carolina. He's the all-world defensive end, and everybody's seen the highlight clip of him blowing up the kid from Michigan and knocking his helmet off. And, you know, he had there was a lot of hype and a lot of expectation coming into the season. South Carolina started off the season beating Georgia. They beat Georgia. And, you know, then, you know, last week, I mean, he just disappeared. The first week he disappeared. They beat Georgia last week, I'm sorry. But, you know, I haven't seen it. And I know he made some comments after the game. He was, for lack of a better term, it sounded like he was kind of making excuses for himself.
Mm-hmm.
He said, you know, the coaches need to move him around and they need to do this and they need to do that. And Georgia ran away from him. I mean, it's college football, bro. I mean, you got to get used to that. So,
right.
I don't know. I think the first game that they played, he looked out of shape. And you have to be, obviously, you have to be ready for what is, and the first game is always tough. And I heard people making excuses, oh, it was hot, and it was a muggy night,
but,
guys were picking up.
But you know what, Kyle? I got to stop you right there, man, because I feel like you're dumping on the board, Tony, right now. Because here's the thing. Even in the NFL, they get 4 preseason games, and in that first game, them professionals are gassed as well. So what do you think a college kid that is on time restriction as to working out is going to be? And they get no preseason. So that's number one.
Well,
number two, they were saying that Clowney was fighting a stomach virus. You know what I'm saying? So based on those two things alone, his conditioning, I give him a pass on that. I give him a pass based on those two things. And also, with defensive linemen, it's a double-edged sword. You know what I'm saying? Especially defensive linemen. Because once you are targeted, you can be double-teamed the whole damn game. And also, with Clowney, he has affected the game because of those double teams. So just because he doesn't get the stats doesn't mean that he's not playing a good game. And it also doesn't mean that he's not affecting the game. Just like J.J. Watt last night with the Texans. Through 3 quarters, he didn't even have a tackle or a sack. But he made some big plays down the stretch. But statistically, he didn't dominate the game. If you look at the stat sheet of that game, you'd be like, man, what the hell was J.J. Watt? But he had a big impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So with D-linemen, that's not fair.
And I hear your point, but I got a counterpoint. My counterpoint is, I had the same discussion with one of my friends. He mentioned the stomach virus and all that stuff like that. I'm going to tell you the same thing my coaches tell me. When you step in between the lines, none of that stuff matters. You know, we've all played ball. If you got a sore ankle or you got sore ribs or a broken finger, all of that stuff goes out the window once you step in between those white lines on the football field.
And I feel you. So are you saying that he wasn't giving his all? Like he
no,
gave
not
his
that.
All that. Okay, so as a coach, I've coached before, and I've had my star player hurt. But if my star player says he can go, as a coach, I'm trying to win. And if my boy says that he can go, he's going to go. And if I have to pull him out because he's hurting right here, right now, he needs a little breather, guess what? I'm going to pull him out, and he's going to go right back in once you tell me he's straight. So, no, man, you can't have it both ways, Kyle. You can't have it both ways, homie.
No, I agree. I agree you can't have it both ways. I think the only issue I have with Clowney, like I said, the first game was his condition. I kind of gave him a pass for that. I really didn't even – I don't think he played that bad this past weekend against Georgia. What I had an issue with Clowney was the comments that he made afterwards. Like, as if to say, okay, hey, my coaches need to move me. It's almost like he was making it. And like you said, if he's being moved around, I mean, he is the consensus best player in college football. I mean, he's arguably going to be the number one draft pick, you know, unless he starts doing cocaine or something.
Right.
You know, so it's the pressure's on him, and every play that he's on the field is being scrutinized. And that comes with the territory. My only thing is that, no, I don't expect him to have 15 tackles and 3 solos and 2.5 sacks a game. I don't expect that. But no matter what your performance is, when you address the media, don't come off as if you're making an excuse for when you didn't do something. That's all I got. That's the only problem I have with him. Don't make excuses.
Like Mike,
you know,
Wallace?
It is what it is. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. Don't even get started with that, man. Dead
End Sports Edition. You're listening right now to Dead End Sports Edition, the football edition. I'm your host, 12 Kyle. Got my man C4, got my man BZ, and my man Ken on the line. We ask that you tell everybody about this show and everybody about this podcast. It's hot. We're going to keep delivering it to you each and every week. So the next question I have for you guys, like I said, we had a chance to kind of digest a lot of football this past weekend, both college and NFL. And I'll start with you, Ken. Give us your best and worst of the week.
Ooh, man, you know what? I could look at Wallace, man, but Tannehill just isn't that guy. And if they decided to use him as a decoy, that might not be his fault. I could look at Dez Bryant, but I don't think that was his fault. But Calvin Johnson.
he mad because Calvin is on his fantasy squad. That's all that is.
Not only did Calvin underperform because he's too busy doing commercials with Diddy. So,
oh my god,
get his ass out of them damn commercials and get his ass on the field and start catching some goddamn football. But
they got
this
man. They can't
understand that they were doubling him. There's no excuse for what the hell David Wilson did last night, dropping the ball twice. Now he wants to walk around practice holding the ball in his damn arm, taking it wherever he goes. It's a little too late for that.
Like, who did they the program?
Man, it's never late.
Shit.
It ain't never late.
When you ain't catching the rock, you better do something. But yeah, man, David Wilson, man, was just pathetic, and he couldn't even stay on the field. So you got to get that right, because old man McGahee is going to take his job.
Yeah, I think the Giants just signed Brandon Diggs, former Giants running back. Yeah, they just signed him today. So the running back is position is getting real cloudy in New York.
Yes, it is.
What was some of your best and worst of the weekend?
Who, me or FIFA?
Yeah, B.
Oh. The best. Of course, obvious, Peyton Manning, man. He just had like a freaking out-of-body experience, man, throwing 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. I mean, he was a search squad out there in that second half, you know, and it's like, let me prove to y'all that I am the best QB in the league, you know, after still having an amazing season he had last year, come up the neck surgery. Then he had a whole offseason of prep and training camp, and then you go out there and against the Super Bowl defending champion, throw 7 touchdowns like it wasn't nothing. And Peyton Manning was pretty happy over there having Wes Welker over there, I can say that for sure. But I think my dud, like the worst person I guess I would say is the Steelers rushing game. They only rushed 32 yards. I mean, that's a team that's built off of, you know, running it down your throat, and now you have only 32 total rushing yards. I mean, I'm gonna get on hometown for a second. Dominic Sue. I mean, you know that the NFL is after you. Why are you throwing cheap blocks? You know they're gonna. They after you, dude. I mean, stop doing stupid stuff. They find you. You got the $100,000 fine. It's like, dude, come on. Like, I know you're aggressive. We know this. This is a different era in NFL, man. If you was playing back in the 70s or 80s, that, I guess, it would have been just another nasty defensive tackle. But you in 2013 NFL, you can't do that crap, man, especially if they already gunning after you. So, them my duds. But, yeah, of course, Manning is, like, obvious. That's like the – he was a star. He was a star this week one.
Man, I don't know, B. I can't argue with the Peyton Manning 7 touchdowns, but I think the best of the week was hands down, not even close, Chip Kelly. Because this boy right here, he put up 33-something points in that first half, and he really scaled that shit back. Like, if they dialed it up, the Eagles could have scored damn near 70 if they wanted to. That's how easy they was moving the Brock. And I think that I don't know how long this could be sustained, because the NFL is 16 weeks and it is a very physical game. But just the Eagles, especially with LeSean McCoy. Like, I was tweeting last night, so if y'all follow all of us on Twitter, you know we be getting it in. But Chip Kelly fits the Eagles perfect. And in the offseason, I was saying the whole time, if Chip Kelly's going to come to the NFL, the only team he can coach that is ready for his offense is the Eagles, because they have the playmakers with big arms, with fast legs, and shifty moves. That boy LeSean McCoy is the reason why that offense works. Yes, Mike Vick is a big component to that, but LeSean McCoy, you saw every time they put in that second string running back, those handoffs were going nowhere. When you put right. that boy McCoy in there, he's turning them things into 35-yard touchdown runs. You see what I'm saying? So, to me, the best was Chip Kelly and the whole Eagles. The whole staff, shout out to them. Congrats to Chip Kelly on his first victory in the NFL. And then the worst. How can y'all not say the damn Jacksonville Jaguars? 2 points? How do you finish a game with 2 points? This is not soccer. The main way you score in the NFL is touchdown and field goal, either 6 points or three, and you manage to only put up 2 points. Right.
Who's their quarterback?
I don't know.
No.
They need to holler at Tebow. They'll bring him back home. And if they see if I get off to the playoffs, the AFC South is not that strong.
Right. Oh, man. What about you, Ken? What were some of your best and worst of the weekend?
I already gave my worst. I didn't give a best. If I think about a best, who you know what? I got to go with Peyton. I think Peyton just you know what? When you do what Peyton did and you tie a record, I think you just have to give it to him. I understand where you're coming from. So, you know, 33 points, but – you know, and I understand he scaled it back in the second half, and that's why they look a little bit like the Eagles of last year. But you can't disrespect Peyton Manning like that, man. That's just disrespectful. You should be ashamed of yourself right now.
That is no disrespect. You know why? You know why it's not disrespect? It's not disrespect because what he did is what I think he'll probably do week in, week out. You cannot tell me that week in, week out, you're not thinking Peyton Manning's going to go better than 3 touchdowns, better than 300 yards. Come on.
That's a given.
Okay,
that's
exactly.
That's why he deserves best, though. He's 7.
And I give you that. But what I'm saying is that I expect Peyton Manning to always be at an excellent level. He's only going to have a couple games that are bad for him are great games for other players. You see what I'm saying? Week in, week out. I expect that from Peyton. So him doing this and tying this record, he should have been had the record, in my opinion. He should have been he's Peyton Manning. I expect excellence. Him, Brady, Breeze. There's only a couple quarterbacks you expect excellence week in, week out, regardless of the defense. You could be facing the number one defense, and guess what? They're going to be shook.
Yeah, but
so,
come
yeah.
on, man.
That was crazy, though, Peyton. I mean, that was still good. That's
excellent, bro.
Right, that's like you saying. That's like if Kobe scored 81, you ain't gonna say, "Oh, I expect that," because you ain't gonna expect 81 points. Like you're not gonna expect just Peyton Manning to be that surgical like that and throw 7 TDs. Like damn, like that was kind of like. I mean, I'm not saying I'm comparing the 7 to 81 points, but like I'm just saying, like that was crazy, man, to tie an NFL record like that. Like that was.
And you know what? I'm not trying to downplay what Peyton Manning did, because what he did was truly excellent. Truly excellent. But I think that with all of the questions and all of the hype and hoopla of what we're going to see, how is it going to work, what's it going to do, you know what I'm saying, all of that mounted onto Chip Kelly. And for them to come out the way they did, because I already knew that the Redskins, they're not going to be the same till about week 3. They're, you know, because RG3, no preseason, no nothing, real full snaps.
Right.
So I know he's going to take some time to get ready. But, yo, you cannot tell me that defense, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, they're bringing back 2 guys, Kerrigan and what's his name? Arakpo. But, come on, what the Eagles were able to manufacture up and down that field in that first half, come on. Like they answered a lot of questions. And granted, it's not like Washington has the best defense, but what the Eagles were able to do is very scary.
But you know what I'm thinking,
you know,
on people? This is what. Go ahead, Ken.
Go ahead, Ken.
You know what I'm thinking? You know, this is you know, yeah, that worked in college. But I'm really curious now that, you know, of course, Redskins didn't expect the Eagles to come out the way they did and be fast-paced. Now that you got film on that, I'm wondering how that's going to hold up throughout the whole NFL season, now that you're going to have defensive coordinators and everybody scouting or playing against that. That's what I'm curious to see. I'm not saying they're going to fail. I'm just kind of curious to see how that's going to play out through the NFL season.
You know what, B? I was talking to Ken about this earlier today. And the thing that makes Chip Kelly's offense very, 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 very scary is the fact that it's not because it's designed that way. It's because of the decisions that the players make. So you saw last night the Redskins blitzed it a lot, right? But a lot of the formations were the same, and they ran a couple plays out of the same formation. But the difference is that Michael Vick makes those decisions. So depending on what he sees, he has two or three outs. I can run myself. I can give it to LeSean McCoy, or I could throw the quick screen. How do you defend three things at one time? You can't take away three things at one time. You just can't do it. No sport.
Right.
You cannot take three things away. So how are you going to stop that? Of course you're going to get some stops. It's not like this thing is going to, you know, of course you're going to be able to slow it down here and there. But when they're clicking, that is scary.
Right, it is, but yeah, that's why them coordinators get paid $1 million, man. I think there's going to be a time where we're going to be like, oh, shit, where's this fast-paced Philadelphia Eagles? They're going to start, now they got the film, man, they're going to start breaking that shit down. I'm not
but
saying in week
the
two they're going to get locked down, but I don't...
Well, you know what, I think both of you make some great points. I think that I was tweeting this too, like people said last night. I think my cause for concern, I'm not an Eagles fan by any stretch of imagination, but my cause for concern is that Vic is the only one that can run this. Because Nick Foles can't run, Nick Foles could run a fast-paced offense, but you have to take the read option part of it out of it because Nick Foles is not a threat to run. So if Nick Foles is in there and he's putting that ball in Shady McCoy's stomach, you know, if I'm the defensive end, I don't have to worry about playing Foles because he's not going to, you know, I know that Shady's getting the ball. That being said, you know, and we're talking about Vic, a guy who has, throughout his career, has only played all 16 games once in his whole career. And last night he took a couple of shots, and I don't know if it was, you know, he looked like he may have tweaked his groin a little bit on that long run that he had. And Vic's not a big guy at all. So, you know, I'm while it looked good, don't get me wrong, I thought it looked phenomenal out the gate. But at the same time, And just doing that over a 16-game season, I don't know. It's tough. I'm just kind of like from the old school where I think to win a football game, you got to kind of beat your opponent in the submission, and the way that you do that is through time of possession. You'll find teams that will try to keep Philadelphia's offense off the field by just having, you know, these 10-play, 7-minute drives.
But you know what, Kyle? But so does that offense, because that offense gets more plays. The more plays you have, the more time of possession you have.
Indeed.
You see what I'm saying? So at the same time, how many teams in the league, the only way to really keep that offense off the field is going to be a great run game. And how many teams have a stellar run game?
It's true.
Not many.
How about running back and thin this year?
You see what I'm saying? So, and especially in the NFC East, look, who they're going against, the Giants? Non-existent running game right now. Who else? The Cowboys, you see flashes, but it's not great. The Redskins, they're not going to be at full strength until RG3 is. So that NFC East is kind of wide open right now, especially if they can attack. If they can attack and average 50 plays in the first half every game, your time of possession is pretty damn good.
That's true. That is so true. You are listening to Dead End Sports. I'm your host, 12 Kyle. Got my boys, FIFO, my man Bees, and my man Ken from Dead End Hip Hop. These guys know a little bit more than hip hop. They know sports. And we want you to tell everybody about this show. This is the initial podcast, and we're broadcasting live tonight. Now let's take it to fantasy football. Ken mentioned it a little earlier about when he started with fantasy football. So I'll start with you, B. Who was the outside of Peyton Manning, how did the fantasy week go this week?
Anquan Boldin. Anquan Boldin was so wonderful for me in fantasy football this week. I was loving it. Now, you know, am I expecting that every week? No, but I'm glad he did it in a week. I needed him to do it for me to get that win. So, you know, Anquan Boldin all the way, because I was going to get someone that had Peyton Manning. So, you know, Anquan Boldin and a few other players stepped up for me. So, you know, I Anquan Boldin was one I was like, oh, yes, thank you, Jesus.
What about you, Jim? I know you said you're in like 15,000 leagues, man. How did the fantasy week play out for you?
Oh man, it 1-3, bro. It wasn't a good week, man. I barely eked out that one victory. I'm disappointed. I expect better, and I will rally the troops. We will we will play better. I went against Peyton Manning, and I just so happen to have Wes Welker and Julian Thomas, but those three extra fucking touchdowns, you know, took me out. And Cruz was a baller, man. All my guys balled out, man. It just wasn't a good week. But BZ ass, I play him next week. So, and
yes,
I'm
going
for LB. So
no,
I got to do it to you, bro. I got to do it to you, bro. So
I actually caught L's in both of my Dead and Hip Hop leagues. I lost to FIFO by 0.56.
Wow.
Two catches by Fred Davis last night. That got FIFO to win. Lost by him by, and then I lost to some dude named Fun Crushers by like 26 points. But a couple of my guys kind of stunk up the joint. But yeah, the Dead Hip Hop leagues, I lost in both of those. But my main league and then the other league I'm in with Cannon FIFO, I won in them leagues. So them the leagues that matter right there, because that got bread on the line. So I won in two leagues that got bread on the line. So I'm happy. I'm kind of happy.
Yeah, I lost to Philadelphia Flyers and Children of Cornbread. So I'll see them again, though. I'll see them again. Turn the fuck up. We will turn the fuck up.
That's his team name, too.
That's goddamn right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man. What about you, people? How did the week go for you, man?
Man, I went 2-3, man. I'm in five leagues. I went 2-3. You know, a lot of people have some great damn weeks, and as you guys may or may not know, I was on vacation when all my drafts happened, so I didn't get to draft nothing. So I'm Mr. Auto Draft this year. So you know, I'm gonna just let it ride. You know, I'm in one.
So in other words, your team stink.
No, and one of them, his people squad is kind of nice. He got like AJ Green, Larry Fitzgerald, Jimmy Graham, and somebody else. Like, I forgot. I think Cam Newton is his quarterback, I believe. I think it is.
Okay. He messed all that up.
Yeah, he did. He sure did.
Well, it's not bad. I mean, that. But sometimes being with that auto draft, man, it's the luck of the draw.
I don't like it. I hate it.
I hate it.
I love hand picking my teams myself. It feels so much better when you get the wins.
Same here.
Yeah, because you might find that gem. You'd be like, "Yep, I was right on this one." He's killing y'all.
Yep.
Right. I actually opted out of fantasy this year, man. I just didn't have time to do it, man. But I kind of still kept my eye on the fantasy wire on Sunday, just kind of like out of habit. I was like, you know, watching the game. And I'm like, and then you know, on the screen that flashed a little fantasy points. I was like, damn, I could have had him. I could have had him. Or I remember I had him last year. I had him in this league. That type of thing. So. I'm having a little withdrawal, but I was okay Sunday. I was okay. I'm not good.
Kudos to you, because you are, Kyle. You are watching football with just no type of emotions or worries, like we all are going to be all season. It's like, man, every time it's like I know last year there's been a couple of times when I'll be checking my scores, I'll be so close to throwing my phone because I'll be so mad that I like maybe bench somebody or I lost because I benched this person by like 2 points and stuff. Oh. It's so much up and down emotions, and then when you win it, you feel like you just want to kiss every damn thing because you're happy because you win it. So, kudos to you. I mean, you don't got to deal with the emotion.
Well, you know what? To be honest though, I miss it a little bit. I miss being, you know. I remember a couple of times last year, man. I mean, I wouldn't even tell my wife this, but I mean, I'm in church. I'm looking at my phone like, man, I forgot to set. Did I set my roster right? You know, like, Yep. I'm sitting there playing on my iPhone and trying to get my roster together and supposed to be listening to the preacher, you know. So it's like, I don't know, but I kind of miss the hustle and bustle of trying to make sure everything is together and studying the wire and studying who's hurt and all that good stuff. This may be the only year, but I said I was going to see how I can, and much like you guys, I've been playing for the last 5 years, so this is the first year that I've done it without it, so we'll see how it goes. I can't make anybody promises that it'll go beyond this year because I'm kind of missing it, especially hearing y'all talk about it now. I'm really missing it.
See?
Tonight we're talking Dead End Sports. This is the football edition. I'm your host, 12 Kyle, talking with my man Ken Beasy and FIFO from Dead End Hip Hop. I guess the next thing we should go to, we call FIFO's Film Study. FIFO's Film Study. FIFO, is there anything on film that you've seen on film that has stood out to you football-wise?
Yes, it has. And I'm going to ride the horse that I've been talking about all game, all damn night, is Chip Kelly's offense. And how the offense is going to be scary as it continues to evolve week to week. Because realistically, the Eagles' next opponent is probably going to see some of those same formations, but it's going to be completely different. It's going to be completely different because there's so many options with that Chip Kelly offense. I am so interested to see how it progresses week to week because these formations, there's just so many options. You have the quick screen from it. You have the read option. You have the cutback. So, and we all know that Vic still has that gun, so he can get the ball anywhere they need. So it's going to be really scary. And just Vic's decision-making. There was one play that I didn't like when he ran out of bounds instead of throwing it away and they lost about 4 or 5 yards. Mm-hmm. But that's really nitpicking because that was the only negative thing I really seen Vic do. I know he got sacked and he lost a couple yards, but he is a mobile quarterback, so most playmakers will make that type of mistake. So I'm not going to ding him on that. But his decision-making was pretty damn good, especially for the first time for this offense to be played live.
Definitely. I agree with you. I think that's one thing that, you know, when you talk about film, that's something that people are going to have to see. Like Beasy said earlier, you know, coordinators, I don't know who Philly's playing this week, but everybody's gotten a look at it. So now they know, you know, and that was really kind of like because Chip Kelly scaled it back a little bit in the preseason. They weren't going to show everything. You know, they very vanilla looks as far as what they were going to do, so everybody didn't know exactly what to expect. And he unveiled the Porsche, you know, right there on national TV. And one thing people have to also keep in mind with Chip Kelly and his offense is that they're actually missing one of their key components with Jeremy Maclin being out with the ACL injury. So it goes back to what you talked about a little earlier, people, about the pieces that fit into this system. You know, when you got a back like LeSean McCoy, receivers like Jackson and Maclin and a quarterback like Vic, perfect for this offense. You know, if everybody can stay healthy, you're going to see this offense push the limit, you know, as far as what they can do on a production-wise. Next thing I want to move on to is the segment we call What Up, Though? From Beasy, what you got? What Up, Though?
Oh, man, What Up, Though? Where they was at? My first What Up, Though is, you know, I'm a kind of sympathy with Ken a little bit is hometown, my boy Calvin Johnson, Megatron. What up? Though? Where was he at? Only 4 fantasy points. If you were a late first rounder, early second rounder draft pick in fantasy football, and you getting 4 points, you know, you kind of like, what the hell is going on? But granted, you know, he started off slow last year and still almost had 2,000 reception yards. So, you know, maybe this is just a pattern. Another what up though? Freaking even these quarterbacks, a couple of them had some good games, but the rest of them they didn't. They all had L's. Brandon Wheaton had 3 INTs, got the loss. Chris Ponder, 3 INTs, loss. Eli Manning, even though he had 4 touchdowns, but he had 3 INTs and a loss too. So that's another one of my what up those. Another one I already mentioned earlier, Steelers running game. 32 yards the whole freaking game. This is a team that's known for pounding it, running the ball, and they was nowhere to be found. So what up though with them? What up though with Mike Wallace? One reception for only 15 yards. Like, come on now. You was like the go-to guy at Pittsburgh, and now you here. I don't know. You can blame the quarterback. Was it just you making all these excuses? What's up with that, man? What up, though? And another one, I talked about it earlier, too. Donovan Sue, what the hell? Why are you doing this illegal blocking when the NFL got the microscope already on you? Anything you do, if you're even thinking about elbowing a player, they're going to fine you $25,000 for that, man. So, come on, stop it, man. Stop it, Detroit. Stop it, please. Another what up, though, is Steven Ridley and Dave Wilson. Both of them fumbled the ball twice. They got the butterfingers holding the ball. They need some lessons carrying that rock again. I think, really, he recovered one of them, though, but he lost one. But Wilson lost both of them, so he's in the doghouse right now. I mean, you saw what the Giants did. So, right. And I got to put this person on blast. He's on the phone with us right now. What up, though, with Ken? Fantasy football team. All the leagues I played in with Ken this week. All the leagues I played in with Ken this week, he caught an L. He caught an L. So all three of them, the real NFL and both of the Dead of Hip Hop leagues, Ken caught L's. So what up though with Ken's fantasy football team? You know, that's like terrible, man. That's terrible. So that's my what up though for this week. My players are where they at, man. What up though?
What up though? Hey, we got another segment called Field Vision. I'm going to throw this over to my man, Ken. Ken, what's Field Vision? What's that about?
Man, it's just kind of the things that I see throughout the weekend of football. And one of the things that I managed to see this weekend with the few games that I saw was just a lot of blitzes. And I don't know why that is, but it seemed like teams just kept coming. Like, it was blitz after blitz after blitz after blitz. And I don't know, maybe it was because quarterbacks were just starting out and they were just trying to catch teams off guard. But that was really kind of one of the main things that I saw, was just a lot of teams really just coming with the blitz over and over and over again. I think it was what team was that kept doing the all-out blitz? Was it the Eagles? I think the Eagles kept coming with the all-out blitz again. No. Was it the Eagles? It was somebody, man. They just kept coming with the all-out blitz against the quarterback, man, and just kept disrupting the whole offense. So it's something that I'll be watching from here on out to see if this is a trend or is this something that, you know, teams would do for 2013. But, yeah, that's basically what I saw this week.
Okay, cool. You are listening live to Dead End Sports. This is the football edition. I'm your host, 12 Kyle. Right now we're going to move on to the section we call Open Field. If you guys follow these guys on Twitter as well as the website, deadendhiphop.com, last week we got a chance to post up our NFL power rankings, where we ranked the teams 1 through 32, top to bottom, as to where we think they are. That I think the initial ranking was posted online on the website, Dead End Hip Hop. Make sure you check that out. And then after this past weekend's action, we actually did our poll again. So I guess I'm going to start with FIFO, man, because I just – his numbers just really look really crazy to me. And for those of you listening, you'll know exactly who probably made the biggest jump on his list. But FIFO, give me your top 10. We don't have enough time to go through everybody. Let's go through everybody's top 10. Give me your top 10 and your power rankings. Starting from
for this week?
Point. Yeah, for this week.
You said week one or this week?
No, this week.
Oh.
This week, all right, I got the 49ers first. Last week I had them first. I got the Broncos second. Last week I had them third. I have the Seahawks third. Last week they were second. And obviously the biggest jump that Kyle's talking about is the Eagles. I have them at fourth. And last week I had them at 23rd. I have the Texans at fifth. Last week they were eighth. Cowboys sixth. Last week they were seventh. The Patriots are seventh. Last week they were sixth. The Colts are eighth. Last week they were tenth. The Lions are ninth. Last week they were 18th. And the Saints are my top 10. Last week they were 15th.
Okay.
Quick question, people. I don't have no problem with your top, but. Like, if you were so sure about, you know, Chip Kelly offense with the Philadelphia Eagles, why you had him ranked so low before?
Because I didn't know. I didn't know what I was going to see.
Oh, okay, okay.
I didn't know what I was going to see, so.
Because it seemed like you seemed so sure about his offensive style fitting with that squad, and then you ranked him so damn low. So I was just curious.
Okay, no, but I ranked him based off of last year. You know what I'm saying? Because
okay,
Chip Kelly was new, I couldn't really – I didn't see what I needed to see from the preseason. So I had to go off of what I seen last year. It was too new. I couldn't rank them.
I got you.
That's cool.
I mean, when I saw it, I could only equate it to let's say Trinidad James, like selling 5 million records. from nothing to the top. I was like, man, 23-4? But I get it. I mean, now that you've given some explanation behind it, I get it. When I first saw people, I just started laughing. I was like, oh, my gosh, we're going to talk about this. What about you, Ken? You got a list?
Actually, I do, and I apologize for not sending this out to everybody. But
okay,
my list changes slightly, but not by much. So right now I still have San Fran number one. I still have Denver second. I got to move the Saints up a spot. I wasn't too sold on Seattle with barely winning against Carolina. But the fact is they did. That defense is still nasty. Defense win ball games, and if they need to, they can stop the Saints. So I'll leave them at third spot, move up the Saints because I had them fifth, and they beat the Falcons. So they take that spot. Falcons, You know, I think I'll move the Falcons down a spot because they were in the game and it was still competitive. From there, man, my 6-7, I have the Redskins and the Packers at 6-7 last week, but they lost. So by default, I'll move the Patriots. Man, they barely beat Buffalo and the Cowboys. So let's do this. Let's move the I'm doing this while we're talking. So let's move the Texans to the sit spot because, I mean, you're down 28 to 7, and you come back, then that says something to me. And then we'll put the Packers we'll put the Cowboys 7 and the Patriots 8, and we'll round it out with Washington 9 and Green Bay 7 because they were in those games.
Wow.
And they had a chance to win those games. So that's
so,
what I got.
So you're putting Washington 9 after they struggled and they're – prize quarterback is still not 100% and is obviously rusty. They're still a top 10 team.
Because RG3 was showing his ass, man. And if he had one more possession, bro, he would have won that game. He would have won that game. So yeah. I'm gonna move him up because he was just rusty. It was his first game. He was nervous, but he woke up.
And you still have the Falcons in the top 10. Even though they didn't even put up – now they're a highly touted offense that didn't even put up over 20 points to a team that gave up the most points and yards last year. They're not a top 10 team.
I still have the Falcons. I only have the Falcons dropping two slots, and that's because I don't have – I think this – I mean, you saw the game. The game came down to the last play. So I didn't really move teams a lot that much. I think the Ravens probably had the biggest fall for me because they fell from what did I have? I had the Ravens at 9 and they fell to 19. I mean, they just got blown the hell out, you know, on national TV. But I didn't have the Falcons. My top 10 was the 49ers, the Broncos, Seahawks, Falcons, Patriots at 5, Texans, Packers, Saints, and Bengals and Colts. I still had the Bengals even losing to Chicago. Still, the Bengals only moved down a slot because it was a pretty close game. What about you, B? How did your top 10 round out?
Yeah, my top 10 this week now is of course 49ers, Broncos at 2. I had them at 4, which I don't know why the hell I didn't think of it before. Peyton Manning got all those weapons now, but yeah, Broncos at 2. I got Seahawks at 3. I got Texans at 4 because that comeback win was crazy. I mean, I thought that was pretty crazy. And I think Texans they have a better defense now this year. So I got them at 4 for this week. 5, yeah, I still have the Bengals because they were still in the game. They were still there. You know what I'm saying? And then 6, I put the Bears just because they shocked me. I guess I didn't expect for them to pull out that win. I thought Cutler was going to throw his usual, you know, 4 or 5 INTs, touchdowns or whatever. And then I put the Saints in there because it's hard to bet against Drew Brees, man. You know, he gonna still dunk and dink you, and he got that arm, man. So I got the Saints. Patriots, I was iffy of still having them in the top 10, but they in there. Yeah, Ravens is out of it. I put the Colts in there. And then I think my 10th spot, who I had in my 10th spot? I put the Cowboys, as much as I hate the Cowboys, okay. But I had them at 10. And then I had to trade 11. But the only reason why they ain't in my top 10 because I think they should have blown out the Vikings with them not having really a QB and putting 8 in the box, even though they did kind of shut down AP after his 75-yard run.
Right, they did. That was impressive. That was definitely impressive.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm worried about my Lions because it's like, okay, that's what a – not so good QB, so like, you know, whatever he plays other, you know, teams that got a decent QB or a decent running game with some decent receivers, I'm like, I don't know. But I'm still glad we got the win. So but that's my top.
Win is win. You are listening to Dead End Sports. I'm your host, 12 Kyle. For rounding out the show, we got about 4 minutes left in the show. So let's close with our parting shots. Ken, I'll start with you.
Redemption, man. Next week, I will proceed to whoop BZ's ass for putting me in the what up, though. And I think I'm going to go 4-0, man. So that's really all I need to say. I'm not worried about anything else. Fuck the NFL. I need to win fantasy fucking football games. So that's it. And I've been playing this
shit for
damn long to go 1-3.
That's that emotion, man. I'm telling you, that's the emotion that you're going to have playing fantasy football. You see how mad Ken is?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That I don't miss. What about you, B? You in a closing party shot?
Yes. Ken, I'm coming for your ass this week in fantasy football. Glad I'm playing you. So when we come back on this show next week, I'm going to be dancing all on your ass because I got my fantasy football win and you're going to go 0-2. Looking forward to the Alabama and Texas A&M college football game this weekend. You know, it's supposed to be redemption for Alabama, so I'm looking forward to that. Even though it's not football, but still I'm looking forward to checking out that fight this weekend, Canelo Mayweather. Boxing match is supposed to be pretty big. And, you know, hopefully my Lions. Mayweather. She's going to get the decision.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you know, Lions. I hope my Lions go ahead and go 2-0. They're playing against Arizona at Arizona, so that's gonna be a pretty tough outing with that Pacific time zone. So, that's about it.
Okay. All right, people. Party shot.
Man, my party shot. I want to say shout out to Colin Kaepernick. Because if these boys don't at least get back to the Super Bowl, I'm going to be disappointed. Because when you can throw for 400 yards from the pocket, you could bust the same team a year ago with almost 200 yards on the ground at the same damn time. Yo, the NFL better watch out. I think he is the most explosive quarterback in the league. At this very second, week 2, he is the most explosive quarterback. And top to bottom, nobody's fucking with the 49ers, man. Top to bottom, you know, all 46 motherfuckers under contract, nobody's fucking with the 49ers. And that's that they have two other offensive weapons hurt in Crabtree and Manningham. So, yeah, ain't nobody fucking with them. If they can get all the way healthy, it is scary. The NFL, yeah, just put them boys in the Super Bowl, man. Either them or the Seahawks.
Don't forget about their defense, too. Their nasty defense.
Man. Oh, yeah. Yes. Crazy defense.
Yes.
My parting shot, like you said, like Ken said, redemption on a personal note. I coached my son's 10-under team. This past weekend, we got a chance to play against the team that actually beat us in the championship, a team by the name of DYJ, the Cav Yellow Jackets, and we bust that ass, 19-0. So I feel good.
That's what's up.
Thank you for tuning in once again, folks. This is Dead End Sports. I'm your host, 12 Kyle. Make sure that you tune in next week. This is the football edition. We'll talk to you next week. Peace.
need some music or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know, right? I know. I was thinking the same thing. Like, I'm used to running the
board. Yeah, man. Can't make that happen, man. Can't make that happen next time, man. Get some music, man. Get a playlist ready.